Let's get it started. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. That was my hammer impersonation.
That was okay.
Yeah, remember? Let's get it started. Here we
Yep,
go. Here we
I
go.
remember.
Here we go. Here we go. You got to do
I
the
thought that
shoulders.
was
Remember the dance?
that
Yeah.
was here we go, here we go. I thought it was
I think I thought it was Yeah,
Yeah,
big
big
I
pong,
don't
big pong,
know.
big
It's
pong,
one
big
of them
pong, big
shits.
pong,
It's
big
one of them
pong, big
shits.
pong, big pong, big pong,
We
big
gonna
pong.
work on that. Get back to y'all.
Side note though, I say this all the time. As much as people tried to clown Hammer, top five best live show
Yeah,
ever.
of all time, pop,
Ever,
and he was ahead of the curve
ever.
with the branding. Remember, people
Yeah.
clowned him for Kentucky Fried Chicken, for having his own cartoon. Now
All that.
niggas is dying to do that
Yep.
type of shit. You know,
Yeah.
Popeye's
I went to that
podcast.
concert at like 9. I think Boys to Men opened. It was incredible.
I was that the same show I went to with Boys Men, or was it Jodeci?
I went to one, but I think
Oaktown
it was 357.
357.
I want to say it was Heavy D and the Boys, Oaktown 357. I went to two Hammer concerts though. So anyway, sorry.
I did
And it was
too.
mad. I
I
remember the music was mad loud. I was like, oh my God, this music is ear splitting.
was dancing so hard, my mom like tapped me on the shoulder, told me to
Calm
come
down,
back
nigga.
to my
Yeah,
seat.
calm
Like,
down, nigga. You're going
you in
ham.
the aisle, chill out. Yeah, see,
You're
we had GA, and I
doing a
know
show.
Def is trying to open the show, but we had the GA where they cleared out the entire ground floor of
I'll see
seats.
this is
So
it's almost
GA was
like a
just,
flat
oh
party.
yeah, GA was just like a party. So that's where you were. So you
That's
just
just
walked
smart.
around, found your people,
And
danced,
dance.
got it in, all of that. Yeah.
That's actually smart. I wish more
Yeah.
people would do that actually.
It was fun.
Popeye's podcast today is August 1st or
Yes.
second?
Second, second,
August
second.
2nd.
Yeah, so it was first.
This is, I don't
Y'all
know.
know what I'm gonna say. Y'all know what I'm gonna say.
And no, we don't want to hear that.
Christmas shopping. Let's get started.
Happy
Exactly.
holidays,
Hang
niggas. I'm just saying.
hanging mistletoe. I
In
don't know when
my
we.
mind,
Yeah,
I
I don't
mean,
know when we're doing another show.
it's right.
Yes, nigga. She's about to start singing the Temptations every
right.
Christmas.
Yo, why y'all bullshitting? I got to get on this Halloween costume. Can't have
I
Ivy
mean,
not stunting in
yeah,
the new
the spirit.
neighborhood.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Halloween stores are opening already in Jersey.
I'm
Wow.
saying. Oh,
You know,
yeah.
they take the temporary, like the old stores that are vacant. They'll
Yeah,
close.
yeah, yeah,
They're up and
They
running, baby.
loaded up now.
Let's get going.
Yeah, that's actually smart business because why have a store for the whole year? You need it for like 60 days,
Yeah,
get your
some
money and get
Christmas
out of there.
stores do that
Yeah,
too.
yep. Yeah. I mean, you know what? Even down here, like it's still obviously still summer. It's still hot, you know. But it ain't like it was when I got here in June. Like
Right.
it feels like it's turning. I mean, it's still warm now. I'm
Well,
like
y'all
fucked up.
kids in the South about to go back to school.
They were not. They went back yesterday.
Okay.
So they went back yesterday. Public schools and the other schools went back last Monday. So they it's school
High
time.
school's here started yesterday. I was
Yeah,
like,
summer's
God
over.
damn.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's they
Summer's
out
over in
here.
the
School
South.
buses. Yeah. Buses is flying and motherfuckers. It's real.
Yeah.
We got a lot to cover. I don't know when we're gonna do another show.
When was the last time we taped? Has it been a month?
Been about a
No,
month.
like 3 weeks.
Yes. Was it 3 weeks? Okay.
I
So
think it's
maybe
been
we'll do
like 3
one
weeks.
3 weeks from now. I don't know. We'll
We'll
figure it
try.
out.
Y'all just gotta bear with us till the fall. That's it.
Yeah,
I think
yeah. I
that's
mean,
fair.
yeah. A lot of people take off in the summer.
We
Shit,
don't
it's
take a
okay.
lot of we don't take a
Listen,
lot
every
of
podcast I listen to is on break right now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. We
You know
don't
what I'm
really
saying?
do quote unquote seasons. So I feel like y'all gotta give us
Yeah,
y'all
give us a time to
Everyone's
live
already
our lives.
in pop culture. So it's not like you can can a bunch of episodes and just release them.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Shit's
Right.
happening literally as we
And
speak.
niggas is moving across the country, right? Like,
Exactly.
literally. Like, niggas is
Niggas
literally
move.
packing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally.
Packing them houses and shit.
Moving
Like, yeah.
across the country.
Yeah.
Before we get into the show, Jeffrey, I just want to real quick give a shout out to Irv Gotti,
Oh, yeah, I
who
saw
was on
this.
Drink Champs this week, talking about the extreme heartbreak and shock upon discovering via watching a basketball game that Ashanti was dating
Nelly.
Nelly with absolutely no mention of the fact that he was a whole ass married man at the time.
With what, two kids, I think? Two, at
Two,
least two kids?
three, something like
Yeah.
that. No mention. Acting like they were just in a regular ass relationship and she just
Like,
bounced.
how dare you be
Yeah,
single?
like,
How dare you be
no
single?
hurt, talk about I was at home, watching the NBA package. This is This was God's way of making sure I found out and I see the commotion. And I'm like, was your wife at home with you?
Yeah, I'm sure she was.
Jesus was listening to this, like, don't bring me in this.
Jesus, God was like, look, Irv, nigga, we got a real situation. I know some babies are dying, nigga, but yeah. You're fucking with this nigga and you.
Yeah. But you know need this. To know.
They done gone public.
Today,
you need
nigga,
to be aware.
It's like, unbelievable, bro.
Dire circumstances, like
unbelievable. Like I'm like that's the thing, man. I be saying like, well, Rabia, you know, not even sister. We were talking all the time. It's like, yo, like you gotta respect the game, bro. Like this is the game. You're a married man. She's a single girl. Y'all did whatever you did.
God bless you. But
you see, to a guy like that, right? Like
money and all that shit. He
not
doesn't
just
get
the money. His situation had not changed. It's true. Not like so in his mind, he's probably operating under the guise of like, nigga, like you knew this day one. Like you knew whatever I was doing was what it was from day one. I haven't moved the bar. Right. I haven't changed anything. I didn't impact the rules of engagement here.
And shout out to Neo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello. Yeah.
So,
and I promise this man wasn't trying to leave his wife. What was he trying to supposed to do?
Also, too, a nigga don't want to lose publicly because that's ultimately what this is about.
Right.
Nigga came in, you know what I'm saying, scooped your lady friend.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
That's what I'm saying. I'm the game is the game, nigga. Like, what you want to do?
She was single, Irving, because you were married.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know what else to tell you. She did not cheat on you. She did not leave you. Ain't nothing to leave. You a whole ass married man.
And Nelly, you know, Nelly was hot. He had Matt Brett. He's a great looking kid. Like, what the fuck? What's she supposed to do? Say, nah, I'm going to stay with this married man. I'm going to stick beside him.
I'm going to stick. That's mine. I'm going
to ride this out.
I'm going to ride this out.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing, I mean, maybe I'm being a little fragrant here, but, you know, because I don't, you know, but yo, Irv's wife was beautiful. Like, I'm like, nigga, like, she's a banger. Like, you're just going to...
And was clowning.
Clowning. And what Irv slept on, and I told people this about Kim K, too, they are both Libras. The thing about Libras is we'll take some body blows, and we'll take some punishment. But when we're done, we're done. And we do not ever go back. We will never go back. And so that's why Shami's like, I moved on, nigga. That's it. It's over. You thought you had it like that. Just like Kanye did, until you didn't. And if you move on, especially if there's another person involved, nigga, it's over for you. Like, you don't even exist. So, peace to
Earth. Yeah, he played himself.
I gotta watch the Patti LaBelle Drink Champs, though. I haven't watched that one yet. I really want to.
I do, too. I haven't watched
it. I've heard some pieces of it. I just don't have the mental tolerance to listen to Nori for 2 hours. I cannot do it.
2 hours.
I heard that Nori doesn't interrupt Patty though. He lets her rock. Even he knew how to
the pieces
some
I heard, right. Like, I love Auntie Patty. Y'all gonna have to carry me out of here when she goes.
Of course.
But
I
can't do Irv. I just cannot. This nigga said
Nori.
Sorry. Either one. Shit.
No, it was
this nigga said he didn't know sweet potato pie was made from potatoes.
What?
On the drinks on that
what?
Particular podcast, so
what do you
I
think?
Said,
"What
do
you
here's
think?"
Where I exit the clip. Well,
I'm not. Yeah.
We gotta
why
remember,
would you say that out loud?
Remember, if I'm not mistaken, Nori is not African American.
He's like
half and half. He's half Puerto Rican.
The
half
name
half.
Of the pie is sweet potato.
What I'm saying is that I don't think he's ever seen one made. Is the point I'm trying to make?
Right. Like, so maybe somebody never, should have said yam.
I'm saying clearly it's in the name. Right. We're not debating whether or not it's in the name. But I'm saying, as a little kid, we're sent to the store to
go get the cinnamon and all that.
A nigga be 7 and could pick out some good sweet potatoes.
That's
right?
True. That's real. That's real.
Him a lot.
Yeah.
That's really probably what happened.
God bless.
He processed everything. Because you go to the store, you pick up a pie. You don't see that shit made. And you don't see, you know, it's not like it's an apple pie or a cherry pie where the filling is part of the fruit.
God bless Nori, man.
Yeah, bless his heart, though. Bless his
heart. Yeah, I'm gonna watch that though. But I want to give a couple of RIPs to Mr. Bill Russell, the winningest,
the motherfucking goat,
the goat, and the winningest player of team sports history.
They ran out of fingers for
literally.
It will remind niggas. Yep. Regularly, I loved it. I got
11 out of I won 11 out of 12 championships. Your niggas shut the fuck up.
Loved it. Loved it.
I got one ring, and I remind niggas every chance I get. You know.
If they had 11, so he passed away at the age of 88. You know, obviously he had a long life,
full life,
and was also a huge. People are finding out now. He was a huge civil rights movement
activist.
Stood for everything, and a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people know this. He went the way the Boston fan base treated him. Like when they were on a road trip, they broke into his house, literally shitted in his bed, spread shit Jesus. Over the walls. Yeah, shit in his bed, spread shit all over the walls, broke up all his stuff. This is guys again. He's won 11 out of 12 championships, this is how they treated him. So when he left Boston, he never went back.
I can't blame him.
And even when they retired his jersey, he did not go to the ceremony. He never went back to Boston. He never went and sat the game. He was basically like, fuck y'all.
They had a closed door ceremony for his jersey.
Yeah. Because he was like, fuck y'all. I'm never, coming back to this, godforsaken place. And he was also a man of principle and so stuck to his word. But, wanted to just give him a shout. There's a lot of stuff online. You can, read about him. Interviews of people talking about him, how they revered him. Mm-hmm. When he walked in the room, everybody bowed down. They called him Mr. Russell. None of the players, like Jordan, they don't call him Bill. They call him Mr. Russell because that's the respect level that he earned. So they say peace to him, and then and his family, and then peace to Nichelle Nichols, Lieutenant Uhura from Star Trek, was she the first black cast member on a television show
ever? Not first black cast member on a television show ever. I want to say
she was the first something.
She was the first something. I'll find it. Yeah, I know she was definitely, I think, the first. I want to say, for one thing, I think she was the first black woman to have an interracial scene.
Yes, definitely. Her and Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
She was on Star Trek.
But she definitely changed the.
Oh, yeah.
She helped change perception because just the fact of having a black woman who was not in a subservient position, right?
Yeah, you're right. She wasn't the first because the first was like one of those maid shows or something like that.
Right.
She was a professional, obviously very smart, and she was on equal par with her other.
She was the first black actress to star in a primetime show.
Okay. I knew it was something. She's a beautiful woman. Actually was going to quit the show. I think after the second season, she was just fed up and couldn't handle the racism that was coming from people. And Dr. King himself and her had a meeting where Dr. King told her.
One of the first. But she had, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Jeff. I'm reading. But she did have TV's first interracial kiss.
Captain Kirk. And then Dr. King himself told her, we need you. There's too many people, there's too many black people, not even women, just black people that are watching the show. We need you to stay on the show. And so she stayed on the show.
And she became a recruiter for NASA after that. Mae Jameson credits her really heavily for her career. They hung in. They were together often. There's a lot of pictures of them together. But she actively helped NASA recruit astronauts, like women of color specifically, but just people of color to the program, period.
She another icon and a legend. Peace to her and her family. I don't know how old she was when she passed, but I know she's in her 80s.
I think she was 88 or 89.
Too. Yeah, I think about the same age. I think you're right about the same age. So just wanted to definitely give shout outs to them.
89. She was 89.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to say that because, they deserve the flowers. I'll start with a little TV. I'll start the movie. I went to see Nope. Have y'all seen it yet?
Hey, Ivy. I haven't seen it. I've heard mixed reviews. I've heard
I know Bro ain't seen it. I ain't gonna ask you that.
Yeah, I heard the
Bro, bro, you go on and do some work this part.
I had the opportunity to go.
Yeah, I know, and you said fuck no.
I went to DK and went and sat in the car.
I'm
the went and sat in the car for me.
Yeah. Nigga was listening to some
nigga
gospel.
Ordered a pizza.
Nigga was listening
to Mike
Bell. Put on the mighty stair steps. You know what I'm saying? The five reading, blind boys.
Reading the finance page at New York Times. Snapping the paper.
Yeah. They talking about this shit. I saw it. You know, as y'all know, I'm a big sci-fi guy. Really like Jordan Peele. I didn't like this movie as much. The thing about Jordan Peele movies that work that happened to me they really do need multiple watchings because a lot of things have just missed on the first watch. So I really want to see this again. I immediately went to YouTube when I got to the crib and I kind of started going through the reviews on YouTube and a lot of things that I didn't understand. People were explaining. And I'm like, oh. So now I want to go back and watch it again. I think it's his most ambitious movie. I don't think it's his best, but it don't fuck up his legacy. It was good. Kiki Palmer was excellent. Like I think
shout out to Kiki Palmer. I think she is everything.
Amazing.
Kiki Palmer. I don't know who nobody is.
But Kiki's been everything because Kiki had to check some people because folks wanted to compare Kiki's career to Zendaya's.
Yeah,
and Zendaya's. And Kiki ran down all her stats because mm-hmm. You know who she's like? She's like Regina King. She's been consistently mm-hmm. working all
since
this
a child.
Time.
Since a child.
Since a child. Like she's been mm-hmm. consistently working. So she may not have had the looks on the scale that Zendaya had, but Kiki was like, let me tell y'all about Kiki Palmer. Because she was like, what you're not going to do is try to pit me against. You know, somebody light skinned and act like they have like this more stratospheric career than I have. Mm-hmm. But I am happy to see Kiki, adult Kiki. I feel like people finally really realize her range because she's so funny and her timing is perfect. And, you know, she's likable, she's witty. Because there's also, there's a TV series version of Scream that MTV did. And season 3 is out now on Netflix and she's in that too.
Okay.
And this one, all the main characters, there's like some white main characters too, but the main characters are mostly black. It's her, it's the dude, I know we're going to talk about Rap Shit, it's the dude who plays the baby daddy in Rap Shit. It's CJ Wallace, it's Tyga, it's Mary J. Blige, Big Boy has a cameo. Like, so it's like what would happen in a horror movie if the main characters were black people.
Black
like,
people,
no.
Yeah.
So, and she's great in that. I mean, she does her thing. So I'm going to see Nope. But somebody posed the question to what you said, Jeff. Somebody posed the question, is the movie good if I have to go and watch the breakdowns afterwards to understand it? Should I not be able to just walk away from the movie with a grasp of it, even if it's on a different level?
I got you.
You know what I mean? Somebody
I think that's a legit question. But Jordan does... his style of filmmaking and writing, because he wrote the movie as well, is so layered, and he does all these kind of subtle things that you just might miss, because the movie is also very intense. So you're kind of like, what's going to happen next? You know, so you miss some shit, and then there's a correlating story about a monkey. Of course, I'm not going to spoil it, but there's that, and I had to figure it out. Just go see it. Go see it, and then we'll discuss. I've watched the first three episodes now.
I watched the first
show.
Two. I missed the third one because I was
one. The third one to me has actually been the best. Because they and no spoilers, but they dug into kind of the outside characters' stories.
Right, right.
You know, gave us more background on them. Matter of fact, the main two girls who are like loosely based on the City Girls. City Girls are executive produced this with Coach K and everybody.
With Issa, because let's say
Issa, yeah. But the two main girls are kind of not in this third one much. Okay. You get like the other one, the baby daddy, and I think I'm hoping the third one feels like they kind of picked up their steam now. You know, it's like okay. But again, I didn't know if I was gonna enjoy it, but like I'm gonna stick beside it.
I like it. No, I'm into like the I like first. It a lot. I really enjoyed the first two episodes. And I wanted that seducing scheme song. Like I was like, that's
just you know, it's on Spotify and everything. It's real. They put it up
to the K Wayne beat. I was like, oh shit, mm-hmm.
Yeah, they put it up.
I like it a lot. And I was debating with one of my friends about the device to go like in quote unquote into the phone. You know what I mean? Like going back and forth between social media channels and texts and FaceTimes. No, I actually like that.
It's real because it's real. I feel
like it's very real for how,
especially for that age demographic.
It's really well done too. It's not putting the small text on the screen for like Netflix does. I like that they're on FaceTime and all that.
And I like the little slick shit, like the fact that this girl, the I guess air quotes, the JT character, he works at a boutique hotel. In Miami. Like how she's like not prim and proper, but she's kind of like, you know. Then you find out she's fucking scamming credit cards.
Yeah, she's trying to be fake, woke, and conscious.
Exactly.
But it seems like she scams credit cards of people that she deems like bad people.
Like Karens and shit like that.
As though that justifies.
Yeah. So watch Rap Shit. It's good. A good show. And
I'm also just happy that we're at a point, we've come back to a point with women in hip hop where we can have a show about two women as rappers trying to make it, and nobody's like, "Oh, it's not really." Like I appreciate that. We're back there.
And Peace of Kid Fury, because he's in the show. He's actually off the
and he's a writer.
The head writer, on the show. Yeah, so,
which I love.
He's from Miami, so I'm sure he was able to give them a lot of that Miami experience and shit. You know, so watch Rap Shit. I hate watched The Chi.
I haven't watched The Chi.
It's actually not. It's actually not that bad this season.
I'm out.
You done.
Ever since that nigga that ran for mayor was the kingpin, and his acceptance,
Otis.
Like, I'm defunding the police. I was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah. It's actually not bad since I'm watching. What have y'all been watching?
I've been in a Netflix hole since my Wi-Fi and cable is wildly unstable at the moment. Okay. But Neil Patrick Harris has a new show on Netflix called Uncoupled.
I heard it's good.
Darren Star, who did Sex in the City, does this.
Okay.
But it's Sex in the City without all the whiny white women.
Okay.
Makes it great, right? it's a story of him breaking up and then what he's doing as a gay man over 40 trying to get his shit back together.
Trying to get his groove back.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really well done. I enjoy it.
Okay.
So I watched I think I might have talked about it last time we taped The Old Man on FX and Hulu.
Oh yeah, so this getting great reviews.
With Jeff Bridges. It's fucking outstanding. It just wrapped, I wanna say last week, maybe week before last, but it's out.
Okay.
You watched it, Sean? I see you nodding.
I've watched it all the way through. It was very weird that it ended at 7 episodes, which is, you know, series will end on an even number, even if it's not 10. So it's very weird that it ended on an odd number like that. But it was very well done. Great cast, like very, very good acting, very believable. The timelines match up. I mean, obviously, you know, it's a television show, right? So it's not like a fucking documentary, but it's a
story.
That's Watching Nights.
That's Watching Nights.
So
I don't miss that.
I've watched The Gray Man, which is a movie on.
What'd you think, bro? I watched that too.
I keep trying to watch The Gray Man and getting lost and having to rewind. I gotta try over again.
It's a solid movie.
Yeah, it's a B.
I don't think you will be mad that you watched it, but I don't think it's like must see. Like I need to watch.
Yeah, no, exactly.
If you're into that, like really clean John Wick style violence. Yeah. Some of the fight scenes are really eye-catching and dynamic. Mm-hmm. That's what I liked about it.
It's very good. I prefer, and the thing that I was actually going to reference this to Old Man is that while I enjoy action, which I really do, I just feel like the way we cast spy thrillers and shit is just so typical and stereotypical, right? Like the young, handsome man.
Yeah, everybody's great looking.
And like in reality, when we see people who are arrested for espionage spying, it's like a fucking gym teacher. It's like exactly. a dude who takes like heart medication and shit, right? Because he looks like he's about to have a fucking heart attack. So I would like to see more intense story versus the overwhelming action. Mm-hmm. This one is really, really good. I enjoyed it. It wasn't the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, the same. I felt exactly the same.
And then
I really enjoyed Chris Evans as a bad guy too.
Like yeah, that,
yeah, the porn stash. It was pretty interesting. I watched New York City Point Guards.
How was that?
It was to me. It was great.
Okay.
And the reason I will say to me is because New York, like most New York, we don't view things with a lens of nuance to some degree. Like they did portfolios or special pieces on 5 point guards: Mark Jackson, Kenny Smith, Rod Strickland, Stephon Marbury,
the Shamgard, right?
Shamgard Wells, Rafer Alston, and Kenny Anderson. I'm sorry. So there were 7. So there were 7 point guards.
Okay.
And like the reality is that are there more point guards you can?
Lot more.
And Pearl Washington.
Okay.
Now clearly you can do more than those 7 or 8 people, but the reality is where do you stop? Right, like
yeah.
Oh, yo, I would have put so and so. I mean, yeah, you,
Kenny Hutchinson, Kareem Reed, how they put Marbury in there?
Marbury was in there, but that's the thing, right? Like, so they can you can clearly tell they did like a grouping.
Okay,
they did an '80s and they did a '90s.
Okay,
Rod, Pearl, because I always tell you, like New York City basketball was something to behold at a certain period of time. Mark Jackson, Kenny Smith, Pearl Washington, Rod Strickland were playing high school ball at the same time.
Exactly.
Like that level of talent is fucking
unreal. You literally couldn't get in the gym when they were playing.
Unreal. So Stephen A is in here, who I don't like. And my friend kind of went back and forth about it. But like, this is a space where Stephen A. is actually credible.
Yeah.
He's actually credible in this space because he is of the age of...
He played high school ball.
Ron and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he also covered Steph for the Daily News.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So he can add some context. But it was very well done. It was very specific. They really talked about sort of the prodigy and the weight. Like a lot of people talk about Steph, but they don't really talk about the weight and the pressure. So there's a pressure to be good, but there is also a pressure when you are the baby brother of a basketball family.
Yeah.
Like, his brothers were something fucking special.
Yeah.
And they couldn't make it to the league. So when you see him tearing up and when you see him crying and when you see him really like sort of filled with that level of emotion, it's being able to really like bring those dreams home. Like, in that shit, man. You're entire fucking family.
I got my out the projects, finally. I got everybody
else. Also, all those fucking days with your brothers, you know, training you and working with you and doing all of that shit. And he was an absolute prodigy.
Absolutely.
I played against Steph. It was very clear. I needed to focus on my book learning. Like, very early. Like, nigga, if you've ever played against...
Not your book learning.
If you've ever played against a pro, my nigga, like, it is clear the niggas are far and above better than you. And it's not like you a scrub.
Yeah.
But
there's levels to this.
You might want to pay attention in Spanish class.
Let me take my ass down to the schoolhouse.
Down to the science lab.
Basically. But they also
let me do these times tables.
Yes. They also profiled Naisha Butler, who was a very good New York City ball player, another young lady as well. They didn't really do like really big pieces on them. I say all that to say it was really well done.
I'm gonna watch it.
people have to understand that they cannot include everybody. It's
like, no, it's too many people.
It's just like, it's like if you did New York rap, like at some point, nigga, you have to cut it off.
Yeah, yeah. It's just too many people. You
can't keep going, my nigga. All right,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Going to do J. Rude Damager now?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean,
no disrespect, but
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, but like, come on now, like that. Then do the group, go to group home, or like,
what yeah, you know. Yeah.
Speaking of including everybody, I just gotta say, I watched Hustle. I know y'all are huge Adam Sandler fans.
No, no, I watched it. I watched that shit. Yeah, I watched that shit when it first came out.
That movie. It was fire. So good.
Fire. So good.
Yeah, and Queen Latifah is impeccable in it, as always.
And you know, the kid got picked up. He's
Shut up.
Yeah, I forget which team he's on. He's in the NBA now. Yep. Yeah, got
he's
up.
So fine. Too. Yeah, yeah. The eye candy was, you know me. I'm.
Yeah.
I have Avian in my blood, so I was very into all of the scenery.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, he got picked up. I'm gonna never mention. I watched Supreme Team Doc. Showtime's got some good docs, actually. The Showtime.
I watched that as well.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't love it. I liked it. I thought it was very interesting how. I was happy that they got, you know, phone interviews, because they couldn't, you know, they're in both in prison with Prince and with Supreme, and kind of gave real backstory on them and a backstory on Queens, the borough, and how I think we've mentioned this on the show before. Queens is the most suburban borough. It's the borough that, you know, Black folks first went to buy a home and not rent an apartment and a building.
That's even there. The first place where George and Weezy lived. They lived
in Queens. But yeah,
to the deluxe apartment in the sky.
Yeah, that was kind of like the thing. So they gave a big history on Queens and how, like, one guy said, I think it's still they have the most home ownership in the country in Queens. I didn't realize that. And then kind of like how both those guys were like not raised like I hate to say it like this, not raised badly. Like, they were both like good, you know, decent kids.
They weren't from the projects.
Especially, I think Prince, they lived in that, but he just, you know, things happened and they went left. But it was good. It was, I don't know if it was great. I don't know what was kind of missing. I don't think it needed three parts. I think it kind of dragged a lot of things out. So, they could have done it in two. Go ahead, bro. What do you think?
I agree. I don't think it necessarily needed to be three parts, but I understand why it was three parts. When you watch the show sort of through and through, and you recognize that Prince has been in prison for, I guess,
since 1990.
He's going into his 33rd year in prison, and this is not, and there's no murder charges, right?
Nope.
Like, this is purely a drug kingpin. He had beat the murder charges. And when you watch this, you can clearly see that it feels like a commercial, might be the wrong word, but it's clearly an attempt for this to be used as the way to sort of, you know, get some level of freedom for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is more than fair at this point. Which is why, you know, people were saying, you know, why was so-and-so not in the dock, and they should have had. Somebody was like, yo, why they didn't have this guy in the doc? And I'm like, because he fucking admitted to 6 murders on YouTube, nigga. Like, why would you put him in the doc? Like, this is a dude trying to say, I want to come home.
Yeah.
Can't be associated with these sorts of people. So when people were asking, oh, you know, certain people, yeah, certain people were going to be involved because they are still respected men. Mm-hmm. And what the fuck, you know, what they say goes. Then this is not the first production to reach out to them to try to get them on the phone.
No, absolutely not.
It's the only production that has ever gotten them on the phone.
Yeah, because
somebody gave their word that we will honor these requests, and I'm sure some of those requests was, do not have this nigga speaking. Mm-hmm. Do not have this nigga speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And this is, I'm putting this in your hands. And so... Yeah. That's kind of what it felt like. And it was fair. There was really not a lot of counterpoints.
No, it wasn't.
Out of the
wasn't.
Police. I would have loved to have heard from some of the residents. You know, a lot of times we glamorize and we make these sort of mythical characters of those 80s kingpins. And we sort of reference them and revere them in a way that is usually void of having the people who were impacted sort of indirectly with that behavior and with that drug trade and what that meant for them and their homes and their lives and how that impacted them. So I would have loved to have heard from them, and not even on some, I don't even think it would have been they need to rot in hell as much as it would have been like, yeah, nigga, like, I know it might have been glamorous for y'all. Y'all was popping champagne. Y'all was driving in y'all Benzes. Okay, but it was fucking hell over here.
Exactly.
And it was because of this other shit that was
going on. Yeah, the only one that gave that point was Judge Sterling. Is it Sterling Brown?
Yeah, Sterling. But yeah, he's an old judge, too, because...
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
Yeah, he's been like, he's really sort of run the gamut from the counsel, Nikki Bond, Guy Fisher era. So he really kind of know. The wildest shit was that he literally was living three blocks away from them, and they had no idea.
Like, they talked to one of the guys in the crew. They told him on camera, and he was like, wait, what? You live two blocks away? Like, and all this time, and he talked about how when he would get a haircut, he told the barber never turn my shit away from the door, and he said he would leave this pistol in his lap in a barber chair because he knew, he figured one day somebody was going to see him because it's the same neighborhood and it was going to be lit.
It was real. I enjoyed it. I definitely think they probably could have made that more of a 2-hour, maybe a 2-hour doc.
Exactly.
You know, but I think it was good over. It was very well shot. Like, it looked crisp. It looked really clean.
Yeah, yeah. And they got everybody. Like, they got Prince's ex-girlfriend, Prince's wife. Like, they talked to a lot of people.
They talked to people. They got Fort Lee E.
Who was it? It was in a gang back then. So he's a Queens nigga then, huh? Queens. I thought he was a Brooklyn nigga.
So, yes. So, Brooklyn and Brownsville and that sort of, maybe not Brownsville, it was not uncommon. Like, I'm from Brooklyn. I went to high school in Queens. It's not uncommon because there's no separation in the borough.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the borough is on the same, like, you're not crossing the water, none of that.
Yeah, you use Linden Boulevard and drive straight through both, you know what I'm saying?
It's very common for Brooklyn and Queens to mix. Particularly because a lot of Brooklyn folks, you know, like when my man moved out of the building, he moved to Queens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where was I going on the weekends?
So
that's not uncommon, but you know, I think sometimes I think Eric be putting 10 on 20.
Yeah. And put a little spice on it.
Listen, again, this is one of those things I'm saying, by if you have the mayor in there talking about having been in this particular gang.
Yeah, that's to try to help him out. Yeah, yeah. I mean, real quick, I'm going to give a shout out to my man and friend of the show, Bun B, who was on Good Morning America last week and won Best Burger in America.
With them Trill Burgers.
Trill Burgers is amazing. So he's ecstatic. And he's actually, you know, he was actually here about 2 weeks ago, two weeks ago. So I got to taste my first Trill Burger. I had the vegan one. It was excellent. But yeah, I'm just happy and I'm proud of him, man. The company's, you know, really, really, really doing well. Just want to give him a shout. And then I got to give a sigh to Mystical, who is arrested again for rape. This is the third time.
Leave that nigga up
and take that key and melt it down and make something nice.
This is an actual menace to society. This is an actual menace to society. He's a fucking supervillain. Like,
this is why
I can't go full abolitionist, because some niggas need to be in jail. They need to be in prison. They need to be in prison for a significant amount of time, if not their entire lives. There are some people
like you can't be in society with the rest of us.
No, just, not at all.
That's not gonna work.
That nigga needs shoe program, nigga. That shit Alonzo and them niggas was talking about 23-hour lockdown, nigga. That's what that nigga need, because I wouldn't trust him around a woman CEO. I wouldn't trust that nigga around. I don't even know. Look, they need to put that nigga away.
They
might need to put something in his arms.
No, I was going to say, they might need to do the chemical castration shit. Like,
Something, nigga. Something. Because this is what we know about.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. So how much do we not know? And it wasn't just rape. It was rape, involuntary imprisonment, kidnapping.
Domestic battery with strangulation.
All kind of fucking like wild, violent shit. Yeah. Which, side note, I forgot to mention this and what we're watching at Apple, but this is relevant. Apple TV Blackbird. There's a series, Blackbird, about this guy who goes, he's doing time for drugs, but they offer to commute his sentence if he goes into this maximum security prison and gets a confession and the locations of the bodies for this dude who was a serial rapist. But they're not even sure if the dude actually committed the rapes. It's kind of fascinating. It's very dark and disturbing, but it's kind of fascinating. But I just meant to mention that as well. But yeah,
the thing that makes me distraught about the mystical shit, besides, you know, having known him in the past, is like this case and that first case are kind of the same. Like he did the same thing with the allegedly, like where he got convicted. So the first thing with the first woman, like, you know, raped her, like, you know, physically harmed her, like strangled the same shit. And I met that girl. She was the girl who used to braid Mike's hair when he had hair. So yeah, I just let's move on. Okay, I got this. I don't know if y'all saw this on the Twitters. There's two things actually, but the one thing. So there's a guy who flew a girl out, and the film starts when he's bringing her to the airport, and he's. Maybe it was set up, maybe it's not real, whatever, but I just want to talk about the scenario. So he's beefing with her because he said he flew her out and she didn't have sex with him. So he's like, yo, you're out here, you walk around the house with your titties out.
She ain't give him no cheeks.
You give him no cheeks, but you walk around the house with your titties out, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're sleeping in the same bed with me, you know what I'm saying? And she's like, well, it's my body, which it is her body. She does not have to fuck anybody, she doesn't want to. But I just thought this was interesting because it's like mad women under the comments is like, he's a piece of shit and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm going to keep it real. Maybe I'm a caveman. But I'm like, why'd she come? And what the fuck was this thing? And let me just finish my sentence real quick before you go ham on me.
Like, why'd she ham on you?
I'm not even going to go ham on you. There's a more nuanced take.
Okay. Yeah. So like, why'd she come? And I wasn't mad at your man because he didn't, you know, it was a sexual assault. He didn't grab her. He didn't force himself on her. He was like, yo, you're not doing this.
He just put her out.
So I'm leaving. Yeah, I'm taking you back to the airport. And I was like, I'm not going to fucking hang out with you for 3 or 4 days with some bullshit. Like he said, they had FaceTimed a lot. And so I'm assuming that they had, you know, sexual interactions maybe on FaceTime and talked about it.
He's seen the titties before.
So like, but let me just say this one thing, because I have a story.
Of course you have a story.
So I met this girl. She's from Miami, blah blah. She's a baddie. So it was pre social media, but we communicated via phone. Sound like a fucking 1974. And then I went to Miami for business, but I went to her crib, you know, for the day. Thought it was gonna be lit. And like we sitting there like watching TV, and I'm like, you know, I'm, you know, subtly trying to make it pop, you know, it's not popping. And so it's about 3-4 in the morning, and I packed my shit up, and I was like, I'm out. And she got mad at me, and I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, why would I stay here? Like, this is bullshit. So I kind of related to your man, but you ladies have the fourth piece.
You want to go first, Inga?
I just want to say, like, let's be grown-ups and not. Just don't fly out if you know what it is. Don't fly out if you are not going to be in that type of relationship.
Exactly.
And don't fly her out without some kind of guarantee if that's the time that you're on. Let's be adults and just talk about this. I think it's mad childish to be naked in a room with a nigga that you know is very into you and wants that energy from you, and you completely denying it and not even having a conversation. I don't understand it.
Right. So there's good. And I'm with Inka. There's two parts here. The first part is, like she said, on the one hand, niggas, if you're gonna fly a person out and you know you trying to get it popping, clarify that shit. There's nothing wrong with clarifying it. But on the flip side, women, you know that if you've been talking sexy and you get flown out, there is an expectation. It doesn't mean you have to. It does not mean you have to. There's an expectation. The part that bothered me the most in that scene was where homegirl was like, and this is where I think it might be staged, because I can't imagine who would still get out and say this. She was like, well, just send me my confirmation number. Yeah. And he's like, what confirmation number? And she was like, I came here with nothing. That's the part where I was like, this got to be staged, because after that whole conversation, there's no way you're getting out of the car and you think you still got a confirmation number. Also, how are you not being booked round trip tickets where you know your return? Like, I've heard this story of women going on flyouts, and it's like they buy a one-way ticket out and they still got to buy the ticket back, which is wild.
Don't leave your house if you ain't got money to get home.
I was about to say,
that's the grocery store. That's
anywhere to dinner.
To the concert, to dinner.
My grandmother told me that she's like, don't ever go anywhere and you ain't got money to get home. Right? So it's like, that's the other thing. But what I will say is this.
Recipes.
I will say is this. Women sometimes get a vibe going on the phone, on FaceTime, on digital. When we meet you in person, it ain't quite.
It ain't crawling all the way over. It ain't crawling all the way over,
right?
It's
definitely been
like,
there.
Maybe you're a little shorter than we realize. You're a little wider than we realize. Maybe something
there are smells like, in the apartment that you're really not comfortable with.
Yeah, maybe your personality. Maybe your personality. Once we got more than like an hour block, is just not. Hey, maybe your vocabulary. Yeah, maybe your vocabulary is far more limited than we realized. So she might have been trying to still figure out if she was going to give him the ass, right? Mm. Like,
which
and
is
that's,
what
I'm
sure happens.
Yeah, like it's. I'm not saying it's fair, but I'm saying it happens sometimes when women get, because you know niggas about like, you was talking all that shit. Where is that at now? And the thing is, like, we might feel a connection with you, like. On one level, but the physical ain't meeting it yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So men don't quite need that same level of connectivity that women need, even if it's just on some jump ball shit, so without us feeling like we are literally whoring ourselves out, right? Like, because you, I would also imagine you don't want an enthusiastic participant, right? Mm-hmm. So that is sometimes the disconnect between the in-person and everything that was leading up to the in-person is like, mm-hmm. It ain't always, the connection ain't always immediate, but like, they want to get there, but they just need a minute to get there. But then, and you're not going to say like, well, nigga, I'm not feeling you. You know what I'm saying? So right. It's a weird line. It's a weird line.
I don't put, let me say one quick thing. I'm not pushing back on anything you said, Nye, but what throws me about with but this particular scenario is that it probably was true. But then why you got the titties out? Why?
Because she was still thinking that she might give him some ass at some point, so she's trying to keep it spicy. She just ain't ready to do it just quite yet.
She was trying to recreate the sexy environment that she had when the FaceTime was popping.
Am I?
Yeah.
How you doing?
What is happening?
Yeah.
Somebody
just walked in. No, that was the cleaning lady. Can I suck a titty then? Am I allowed to do that? Or I have to stare at
him? I mean, I don't know.
You come back.
He might have been a group. And he might have actually been
a person. I want to know the rules.
Hey, Michelle,
man.
Hold on. Can I come and suck a titty?
what am I allowed to do? Go ahead, bro.
Okay, so a couple things. One, first and foremost, this was absolutely staged.
Okay. It probably was.
First and foremost, because, and then two, here's the thing, like, and this is why I thought it was staged, because if you were not happy with the fact that you was not going to get any ass, you could have easily said, hey, you know what, this isn't working out. An Uber will be here shortly.
Oh,
sir. It will take you to the airport. Right, like all of the interact, like to me, with the advent of fucking Uber and Lyft, like the go all that going to the airport shit, that's
it's
just out. That's
in
just
the out car. The
window. I might even get you an Uber Black, nigga. We gonna go send you back in style. Okay,
no, Sean, you are a grown up. We do not
also,
deal with people that are fully formed here.
That's
clearly.
That's
no
and I'm also gonna say. As a man, this is, you know, not a husband. This is very man shit, right? Like, nigga, you got to fly out ass, nigga? Like, what's what's really good, my nigga? Like, are we, like, that to me is, like, fascinating. Because I can't think of any place in the world where you can't get no action. Like, where the fuck do you live that you needed to import?
I think that was Los Angeles.
My nigga, what are we
doing? What?
Yeah, it looked like LAX. The airport kind of looked like LAX to me.
It's got to be staged.
What are we talking about? Like, unless he was dropping her off at a regional airport, okay, at a fucking flyover state, like we're not doing this, my guy.
Colorado Springs Airport.
We don't need to. So I thought it was all staged. I thought, very much like the McDonald's and the kids, and that's kind of this new thing that folks are doing, but. All in all, and also too, just as a man, how you treat people is about your character. It's never really about them, right? And obviously the honorable and right thing to do is to make sure that the lady got home, right? Like that is the bare minimum. And the fact that you would not do that,
like regardless of how you feel, because denying a part in your agreement, like saying I will fly you out implies I'm also going to get you back home. So denying passage home because you won't give up ass, like nigga, that's borderline. That's
crazy.
Also
that's borderline kidnapping shit.
Also as a man, right? Like this is about just purely having your conscience intact, which is you won't get home. Like if that's a worry for you, you don't have to ever worry about that.
Yeah.
Right? I ain't gonna never talk to your ass again, but you're gonna
get home. Like we're not fucking with each other, and that's fine too. And I'm absolutely not upset. But what we're not gonna do is we're not gonna leave people at the airport. Like that shit is
unbecoming. That's whack. That's
whack. It's unbecoming. Yeah. Fucking lame. You don't get no points for that in the barbershop.
Nah, no cool.
You sound ridiculous.
You're putting it on the internet thinking everybody is going to big you up and more women are going to volunteer for this. And
exactly.
And the last thing I'm going to say is if a nigga come pick you up and he got cloth seats, you might want to get that confirmation number.
Hold up. What we not going to do is drag Inca's lifestyle on this podcast.
You're a mom. It's different. It's fine. But the other thing is, people listening, I feel like our listening audience is generally A, older and B, smarter than this. But if somebody agrees to fly you out, you get a round trip motherfucking reservation, bitch. Mm-hmm. Ain't no one way. Ain't no I'll buy the return ticket when we get no nigga round. Matter of fact, you look up the flight and send them the fucking trip.
So you get the confirmation number.
And I think that this is also part of just this whole generation. And
the transactionalness of it.
Yeah, and if that is what it is, like, listen, dude, like, I'm going to be honest with you. Nobody's laughing at you. Nobody's clowning you if you make sure a lady gets home. Right, like there's no shame in that, and there's no fucking honor in like putting a woman out on the curb and like, you know what I'm saying? Like that shit is just corny, B.
You could have just left us out of it.
Yeah, we didn't even know this.
Like we didn't need to know this.
Yeah, like I
said, it's an L for you too, bro.
Very big L, my nigga.
So I'm gonna jump into this one big story. Both of these big stories. Oh, well, actually, I want to mention. Please, y'all, be careful with this monkeypox shit because it's spreading like wildfire, and it's very, very real. It's not like some isolated incidents. It's you're seeing people online showing what it does to your body. It's not a game. Please, people don't start wearing your mask again, bro, because it's so serious, you know?
I just read about the first recorded death from monkeypox.
Damn.
So it's not just like you're going to get these scars. It's like really life-threatening out here. So please, just wash your fucking hands and keep your 6 feet apart, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So I want to mention one big story, which is the Beyonce album, Renaissance.
So wait, before we get off monkeypox, I was just going to say it feels like March 2020 all over again. New York is in a state of emergency. We have over 1,000 cases.
Yeah.
There's a vaccine, but there's not enough for you to easily make an appointment for it yet, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
The misinformation is rampant.
Rampant.
That feels but okay, familiar. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Yeah. I want to mention Beyonce's album Renaissance came out last Thursday night, Friday. I like her. I like it. Like the album. I think it might be her my favorite project by her. It's very consistent.
Stand an ovation for me over here. Yeah, I'm in it.
It's a very consistent record. I like that there's no ballads on it. You know, no kind of like dramatic ballads and stuff. It's a fun album. Very ballroom energy, house music. Great production. Her vocals sound great. No complaints from me. You know, great production by Sid on a record. You know, Tricky did a great record. Like it's a great project. So there's no issues with that. The issue I have, and I know Nye was dealing with this right up to the time he clicked on this thing, was Khalees. So Khalees got online a couple of days after the album came out, a few days after the album came out, and
She started before the album came out.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Okay, I thought
she saw something from a fan site said that
they sampled her.
That Beyonce either sampled or was quote unquote collaborating with Khalees, but they mentioned a different song.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the song. It was a different song. And she went off like, collaborated with who, call who, sample who, whatever, whatever. The problem is that she doubled down after the album.
Triple down. So the album comes out. The song Interpolated, I'm mistaken, I thought it was sampled, Interpolated is Milkshake. And she goes online and basically says it's fucked up and how could Beyonce not call me and it's fucked up and you know.
Just very like, all these niggas is my son's energy.
Exactly. And Pharrell and
very that.
As if she said the crazy thing about Pharrell, which is like, he's never written a song lyric in his life. And it's like, what are we talking about? She shit on Chad. He's spineless. I'm surprised he could even keep his head up straight. He's got no spine. And she's getting mad personal. Obviously, just some personal
jumped
issues.
Jumped all the
three.
Way out the window yeah. over that, but, them four snare drums that they use.
Exactly. And so, you know, you don't have to do no heavy research. You got to just look at the credits. And Chad and Pharrell wrote Milkshake. Khalees is not credited on the song. They wrote the song initially for Britney Spears.
For Britney, like 3 years before Khalees recorded it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was not even for Khalees. So Khalees did not, I'm going to jump out the window here and say Khalees did not write on that record because it wasn't even for her. Maybe she added a couple little flourishes, but the record was done. So In the way the music business works for the publisher side, for those who don't know, if you go to clear a sample for whoever, they don't owe you a call. Sometimes it happens if the person you're calling, whether it's the producer, writer, or maybe the artist, who might be all three, owns the masters, you might call them because of like, hey man, you know, I sampled your song, Lionel Richie, like, you know, I know you don't really clear things too much, but I'll send you the song. What right. you think? It's that kind of.
I think if it's a clearance issue, like Prince was notoriously like not trying to let anybody use his shit. Right. So if you have a personal relationship with the person, obviously give them a call. Like, hey,
you
nigga,
reach out. You make
I need
a plea,
this.
Or if it's right. an elder, if you're going to like an elder, more established right. artist, like you might reach out and make a plea. Yeah. But
I think
generally,
she's pissed though about the Soulja Boy call that Beyonce made allegedly a few years ago for something else she needed.
Oh, because
she sampled
like,
something that. Yeah, yeah.
Like yeah, but Soulja Boy wrote that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So it's a different thing. Like, he wrote right. that. He owns, yeah. I'm sure he owns at least part of that. I hope he owns at least part of that master. But again, right. Khalees is not on this record at all. So
yeah, at all.
The clearance goes to Pharrell and Chad. And they
even if Khalees did write Milkshake, which she did not, even if she did co-write Milkshake, which she did not, this is a composition interpolation, not a there are two parts to
they didn't
publishing,
sample her
two clean. Parts, two parts to a master, two parts to publishing. There's a composition and there's the lyrics. So even if Khalees was a co-writer on Milkshake, which she is not, and which even though she's claiming that the problem is she wasn't credited for stuff she co-wrote on, I do not believe Khalees co-wrote Milkshake at all. Even if she was credited as a co-writer, she still wouldn't have had a part in this because it was an interpolation of the composition of the actual music bed, the track.
Exactly. Also,
this is why I was excited to talk about this with you guys, because I knew it was dumb. I just didn't know exactly why.
Also, I'm jumping out the window now. I don't know this for sure. But a lot of times when artists sign to a venture, like Police signed to the Neptune's venture, the part of that signing comes with them doing a publishing deal with that artist. So Khaleesi's publishing might go through Pharrell.
But Police ain't got no publishing. That's the whole problem. Yeah,
but like, I'm just saying, but this is general.
I get what you're saying.
What I'm saying is that even if, so the publisher, right. The publisher, whether it's,
you still know, might go to P.
They have to clear P. it. The publisher, right. They're clearing it with Sony Publishing or with Universal. They're clearing with them, right. Not particularly with the artist. But again, like you said, Police has nothing to do with this song at all.
Right.
So for her to expect Beyonce to call her was like, why would she call you?
Well, then she said, but then she said, and this is what other people are picking up on because people don't know how the business works. Khalees implied that it is an industry standard to give a courtesy call to an artist, even if the artist isn't the publishing rights holder. So she was like, Beyonce should have called her and given her a heads up. So what my tweet was to say, and I mean, there are women I respect who I was with this weekend who were like, well, shouldn't she have called her and given her a heads up? I'm like, no. First of all, that's not a thing. That's not an industry practice. It's not an expectation. Even if, with the exception of what we're just talking about, artists don't even call artists that they're sampling directly, except for what we're talking about when you think there's going to be a hard time pushing it through to say, yo, I'm sampling you. Lawyers call lawyers, right?
Yes.
So there is not an expectation that somebody calls the performer of a work who is not the publishing holder and says, heads up, I'm sampling your shit. In this case, there definitely shouldn't be the expectation because Khaleesi's voice is not on this shit at all. No lyrics, no vocals, right? It's not an industry standard. It's not an expectation. No, and so then people were like, but if Beyonce is all about empowering women, shouldn't she be looking out for Khaleesi? So I'm trying to explain to people, you are saying that you expect Beyonce to, on record, acknowledge that she believes Khaleesi has a valid claim against Pharrell for copyright and publishing. That's what you're saying, which opens Beyonce up to litigation. Like, y'all motherfuckers do not understand how this shit works. Why would he call Khaleesi and be like, girl, I know you right. I know Pharrell was tripping. Let me just give you... That's not how this shit works.
From a non-musical perspective, like, look at the energy Khaleesi is even putting out there. Clearly, her and Beyonce don't have some kind of relationship where she would be looking out
for
her.
When have you ever seen Khaleesi and Beyonce together? Fucking ever.
When have you ever seen Khaleesi with any other woman artist on some positive
shit? Ever.
Anyway,
I digress.
It wasn't a digression. It was just wild. It was like nonsense.
It's misdirected energy. It's misdirected energy. And people are like, oh, it would have been the kind of decent thing to do. This ain't a fucking social circle, B. It's a fucking business. Like, yeah, ain't no, this ain't a fucking, see, this ain't a fucking women's group. Like, it's music business.
This ain't a suit.
And Khaleesi ain't filed so much as a piece of paper against Pharrell. That's the other part.
20 plus years. Go ahead, bro.
Ain't nobody called Mr. Clyde. That's all I know. And he been sampled all of the time. And James Brown took all of the publishing.
Yep. Yep.
Life-altering fucking money.
Right, absolutely. Right.
Right? Like I've said, between him and Grandmaster Caz, that might be two of the biggest fucking thefts of art.
Absolutely.
Financially, pound for pound?
Yes.
In the history of fucking music, dude.
Absolutely.
And nobody calls them. Nobody. You know what I'm saying? So like this, first of all, what we're dealing with are people who... read blogs, and they might have, you know, their cousin worked as an assistant at a record label for a summer. You know, their uncle's girlfriend, her baby sister worked at the other for like
a year. So now she's the expert.
So now
she went to T.D. Jakes' church and sat next to the lady who runs the shade room.
I can tell you that there are people who have been in this business, have had careers and been successful and still have difficulty processing how this publishing shit works.
Absolutely. That is
how complicated
it's very complex.
Right? This is why your attorneys get involved, okay? This is why this is why Steely Dan can take 100% of a song.
Mm-hmm.
This is why Bad Bunny had to give up percentages of songs.
Mm-hmm.
So because we're in this litigious place, we have people that will sort of like go overboard with, not overboard, but they will just dot every I and cross every T so that there is absolutely no litigation. Here's the thing about these these cases.
Thanks to the Marvin Gaye family and them being...
And
them being go-hards.
It does not matter how frivolous, how bullshit, how left of center your case is, it will cost you to defend it. And you have to defend it. And so what you're seeing is just people being proactive here. Now, this idea that that's etiquette, it's just simply not. That's some made-up shit that people want to have. And listen, I think people have their gripes about the Carters and whatever, right? Like, I'm indifferent about that. This particular case, it doesn't seem like anything has been done, you know, under, you know, on some slick shit. Everything has been aboard.
Yeah.
And when I heard the, I'm using air quotes, when I heard the sample, I was like, nigga. Nigga. Like, we really? All were.
There was a collective nigga in the atmosphere.
So I understand that people, I also understand that people are human and people deserve some level of grace. And I also know that people are often channeling their energy that they may not have dealt with in other places. You know, and I'm not trying to be like super analytical here, but I know that she is recently widowed. You know what I'm saying? And I just, I say all that to say, like, there might be some things here that might have been sort of created a snowball. And
this
I'll let some of that go because it just doesn't seem fair. Like, now it's turning into you guys are Satan. You know, you know, what are we
right
doing here? God, Earth, herbs and peace beyond to everybody. To the Satan shit, like every
and
time.
Rihanna out of it, also.
Like, I'm trying to give Khalees grace, but it's the fans who are latching on to this and running to be like,
well,
Beyonce ain't didn't do. She should back up. She got the power to support Khalees against Pharrell. But what are you talking? What
this
are you
all
fandom is so fucking
I will say
weird
this
now.
I will say this too. People are very generous with other people's money. They are incredibly nice and generous with other people's money. And you guys on calls, okay, nigga, you ain't talked to your cousin over $50 in 7 years, nigga. So don't come telling me about fucking courtesies and all of that other shit, okay?
And looking out.
You know what I'm saying? Your uncle been clean for 20 years, and you're still holding the fact that he stole your Nintendo game in 92, nigga. Stop. Word.
Yeah. So and this bread. Another addendum to this Beyonce album discussion. So Diane Warren, I'm going to call her the great Diane Warren. She's a legendary songwriter, producer. Credits are ridiculous. Too long to actually even go into, including Beyonce. She's worked with Beyonce before us too. Goes on Twitter and says, why are there 24 writers on one song? This prompts The Dream, who wrote on a lot of records on the Renaissance album, to say, you don't want no smoke over here, or we did this because
we're poor. Dream started by saying it's because, well, let me back up a little bit more. Beyonce
doesn't make any sense.
She overcredited on this album, so to speak, not in the actual legal liner notes, but on the Beyonce site, there are credits for every song in which she credits performers, you know, all sampled artists. Like, for example, people are like, oh, she credited Khalees. What she actually did was the way like movie end credits credit a song. It was like contains an interpolation of written by and performed by Khalees. You know what I mean? Like that type of thing. So she actually OD'd on the credits because she was trying to give people an opportunity to be named and mentioned who usually aren't because they aren't legally required to be, right?
Which can lead for more work for them and so on and so on.
Right, like she credited the Clarks on Church Girl. You know, like that type of shit, mm-hmm. right? She credited Robin S. on
Break My Soul.
Mm-hmm. Because I think it's an interpolation of Shelby.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, so there's over 300 people credited on that version of the credits, right? It's a lot of fucking people, and it's leading to some of this confusion. But when Diane Warren said, why are there 24 writers on a track? Dream's initial response was, because we, you know, Black people didn't have access to blah, 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 so we started sampling and blah, 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 so we have to credit all the sample writers and blah, 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 blah. And it was very dismissive. It was like to the point where I actually didn't even realize the response was from Dream at first. I thought it was just a regular ass Twitter user. And then I was like, oh shit, this is Dream. And Diane was like, I didn't know that, which I don't believe that, Diane. But she was like, I didn't know that. Thank you for telling me, but you don't have to be so mean about it. Which started like a whole back and forth.
That felt to me like she was trying to back out of what was clearly going to be a fight that she was not going to win on Twitter.
Right. Right. And it was a little bit of white woman victimhood. Like, you don't have to be mean about it. Yeah. And also, like, she said somewhere, I think, before the Dream got to that, she had actually said on her own, oh, the samples must be while there are so many writers. So, yes, why are there 24 writers on a song? It was a little bit of shade. It's a valid question, but it was also a little bit of shade.
It wasn't even a little bit of shade. It was 100% shade.
Yeah.
It is fair from Diane Warren. If guess what? If Michael Jordan wants to say LeBron ain't shit, okay, he gets to fucking say that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what it is. Like, that's her space. That's her world. Right. Right? Let's take Diane Warren out of this.
But of course, Dream took it personal because he's on his album.
Let's make it Babyface.
Right. Now, Babyface said it. People wouldn't have reacted.
Let's really get to the crux of what we're talking about here, because then there was follow up tweets about crediting people and sort of intimating that, you know, she or, you know, white folks are not crediting people properly, and that's why there's not 24. Like, guys, there are a lot of people that have written and produced and made music, original music, okay? And guess what? They came from the fucking cotton fields of Mississippi and they did it. So this idea that our sole sort of creative response is only based on being able to sample is absolute bullshit, okay?
Absolute bullshit.
There are musicians available. You can hire musicians to go in and play these tracks. You can do all of those things. It is expensive. It is time consuming. And it is not it's not as easy as you just making some shit and then kind of going into the studio to record. A lot of time, like, when you ever wonder how a nigga be like, yeah, we made an album in a week, that's how. Oh, I did 4 songs in a day. Nigga, you did not do 4 good songs in a day.
You just did 4 songs.
You did 4 songs. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think you did 4 good songs.
No, they did. 3 was trash and 1 was a mid.
and Dream can defend himself, and that's perfectly fine. He could have clearly just said, because we use these samples, this is how the credit, you know, this is how the credit works. It is also.
I do know Tarius is spicy by brand.
It's also
his
fair.
Whole brand is spicy. That's his sriracha fucking Nash.
To ask why there are 24 people on the record is fair, my nigga. Like, that's a lot of, like, there's a lot of real estate between 2 writers and 24.
There's a gang.
That's a lot of space.
And also from a business perspective, like, okay, so, you know, Beyonce gets her share, which is, you know, she gets a decent share on every record, right? It's what it is. And then Dream is going to get his share, right? And then you got to pay the sample off. So now there's, All 24 of those people are not the sample people. There are other writers listed too. So what are they getting? 1-3% a piece?
Yeah,
like,
the
split is crazy. Like, and I think that's kind of what Brian was intimating. Like, so how are you eating?
How do you? Because that is how songwriters earn a living.
Exactly.
Like, that's really where their catalog gains the cachet, right? Like that, those are the things, being able to say you own these, you know, sort of large percentages of the songs, and they kind of have to come to you to get cleared, and you own, you know, some rights to it. But it just seems to me like, look, people were mad. I think people felt like she was being in Black people business, and you know, who are me? Who are me? That's really what it felt like. Then it turned into that weird wokeism shit where people are like, you know, because art has been commodified, capitalized.
Yeah, that's too much. The capitalism, you know, visualizing the realism of life and actuality. It's just too much.
Goofy nigga got on there and said, you got 13 Oscar nominations and no wins. I'm like, but she has 13 Oscar nominations, my G.
But what to her credit, she said, I got 13 more than you.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Like, not so that's not a flex to say somebody got 13 nominations. It's Oscar nominations.
B, not Grammy.
Oscar. Stop it.
So, fucking like, Oscar for Best Original.
The shit went way left because of, you know, go ahead.
But that's kind of the point of what Twitter does, right, is that the fan base saw this as attack on
Beyonce,
and
which it wasn't.
It was really attack on, to me, I took it as really an attack on the producer, and the production process, which is, again, that was me saying that, it's whatever. I don't fucking do that. That's not my world. Right. But because it was her and who she is, like, yeah, man, she has some ability to talk about it. It's like a nigga, if Prince was saying, like, your guitarist ain't shit, nigga, guess what? He can say that.
Exactly.
I can't say that.
Exactly. Exactly. So it was, the shit just went left and weird. But just enjoy the album. It's a good album.
It actually is a good album. Like, actually, this is the first time I really like enjoyed listening to music and not like kind of skipping around it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I notice now that I'm not pressing go to the next record at 3 minutes.
Yeah, no,
it's been a while since we got a like a fun cohesive project. Like,
yeah, it's not, it's, yeah.
And we needed that.
I don't have to dissect every fucking.
Yeah, figure it out.
Say, oh, she said this about this, and then in 1938, that's no, nigga. I want to just have a good time.
Exactly.
I want to do 85, have my cigar, and have some good music.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Let's go roller skating.
Exactly. Let's go roller skate. Roller skate. We gotta get a hard out because we gotta get out of here. But I promise. Well, I can't promise. It's probably too late. But we do have.
Don't promise nothing.
No, I promise shit. I don't know when we're taping again.
See y'all niggas when we see y'all.
Yeah, but we do have thoughts on the Brooklyn pastor, but. Hopefully he'll be still doing his fuckery.
Also, Biden has COVID again, and
Drake got COVID. You heard that? Drake got COVID.
No. Body got COVID.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me, though. He's Mexican.
But Biden also found a random Al Qaeda member to kill so that we would
get COVID. Get you off that COVID shit. You know what I'm saying?
And get you ready for midterms, goddammit.
Speaking of midterms, that Herschel Walker race is way too close for my comfort. What the fuck is happening in Georgia?
And you know, I'm here in Georgia. I see the commercials, and the commercials are wild because Herschel's commercials are. There's a lady, I swear to God, and this is not exactly, it's a lady, it's an old white lady because she's the first person on the commercial. And she says, I'm just trying to save $2. And Herschel Walker's giving all this money. I mean, and Warnock is giving all this money away. I'm like, if you have to struggle to save $2, your issue is not
right. Warnock.
So basically, their stance is basically Warnock voted to help people. And that's fucked up. Because he gave away too much money.
That's what
undercurrent
what the right always says.
Undercurrent
what the right literally always says.
Undercurrent gave too much money away to these niggas and these other people, and now we're struggling. That's the stance.
Only other thing I want to mention is the Black Panther trailer is excellent, and I'm excited
for it. Phenomenal.
And I'm using oxygen in a can, which is revolutionary.
Oh, the Black Panther trailer is phenomenal. Jesus,
it's so good. I got you. Yeah.
And I know
November 11th, Veterans Day, I'm gonna be there.
And we coming out too. They say you're supposed to wear white this time.
Oh, nigga, you know I'm finna get some shit made.
Oh, because we going to, because we're doing the white fume. It's white.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm with it.
Nigga, give me a little jacket made.
Little Kendra Cole stash.
Yeah, man. Yeah, let's go. Go see Miss Earlene.
You know what I'm saying?
Get your suits made, get your dresses made.
All that.
Get you a little. A lightweight wool, cause fall.
Yeah, it's fall. So,
I already got my trench. I already got my off-white trench, double breasted.
All weather coat. What the fuck is an all weather coat?
Where this in May or where this in November? So, we'll see y'all soon. Probably, maybe not till September. Maybe try to squeeze some.
We'll be back at some point in August.
We'll be back at some point in August.
We also need to talk about a Pop Life Live in Atlanta, maybe.
Oh, that would be fun.
We'll talk about that.
All right, y'all. Have a great, great summer. Holla. Yeah, I gotta run to this recording session.